This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Yeah, buddy, here we go. It's hour number three of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. We got Stephen Jones coming up in about 28 minutes. Time now for football's finest. Here's Eric Chiafalo.
Yes, sir. Let's get you set for week 18 right after this.
But at the end of the day, it's about taking it a day by a time. A day and a day, just continuing to do that.
You cannot lose games in the NFL and still win.
To win games, you have to win the game, not lose the game.
It doesn't matter. He pulls another rabbit out of his head.
It really is crazy that the Rams lost the one seed, a top 10 pick, and a Matthew Stafford MVP in like a 10-day span. Losing that Seahawks game, then following it up with the loss to the Falcons. They own the Falcons' top 10 pick, and so with the Falcons winning that game, it bumped them for the time being out of the top 10,
dang,
which the Rams should have had. And then you had Matthew Stafford kind of zeroing in on that MVP, and now it looks like it's going to go to Drake May.
It does.
It's kind of like those are the only two real dudes in the running right there. Do you guys have any – do you guys feel like May's the guy? He's dealt with, and he's a heavy favorite now, but he hasn't gone up against the best schedule. But when you look at all the numbers and just how dominant he's been, and with an offensive line that is not very good, and it's like with his legs, with the arm, just totally stat padded versus the Jets on Sunday. But I do think Drake May is probably that dude this year.
I don't have any problem with it. I'll be interested to see if Drake May can follow this up with more future great seasons to sort of validate his rise into the number one spot. You know, right now he's had a great season and it looks to be a very promising career, but we've had C.J. Stroud, we've had Jaden Daniels, we've had Carson Wentz, we've had a long line of guys. I don't think Drake May has played well enough for me to say I don't need to see anymore. I still need to see him kind of back this up with a couple of more good seasons.
Yeah, it's so tough to be consistently dominant at that position year in, year out. And you see guys have an awesome year, and he's certainly helped by the fact that he's gone up against a really easy schedule. That was part of the reason I thought the Patriots would be a playoff team this year. I didn't think they'd win that division. But just looking at the schedule that they had and knowing the type of dude that Mike Vrabel is, they brought in some free agents. Drake May's had a really nice year, but they have gone up against a really easy schedule. So now you win the division next year. That schedule probably gets quite a bit more difficult. The defenses you play probably get quite a bit better. And so how can you sustain that? That's a huge challenge. But for this year and this year alone, it does seem like Drake May, MVP, Vrabel might also be the coach of the year as well. It's been a heck of a turnaround with New England. AFC feels pretty wide open, man. I can't wait for that once the playoffs get going here, because I don't think there's that much of a difference from like the one seed to the seventh seed. And Josh Allen, I guess you'd throw Drake May in there right now because of the season he's having, but like Josh Allen is the quarterback for sure. And outside of that, it's mostly just really good defenses. Broncos, Chargers, Texans, all those defenses that are nasty, and it's Drake May and Josh Allen are the two quarterbacks right now in that conference that are like, okay, these guys can be a bit of a problem for you, and then we'll see if Herbert can get enough protection to show that he's a good quarterback, but that's going to be tough because that offensive line is just disgusting.
I don't think there's a really great team out there right now, and I think that has to excite the Cowboys. It's frustrating for fan bases everywhere because it feels to me like the Super Bowl is more winnable than ever.
Yeah,
if you're just willing to go into a 2 or 3 year window and say, we're going to swipe the hell out of that credit card. Anytime we see a weakness on our team, we're going to look into free agency or the trade market and bring back the absolute best player, backload all the money, and to say to hell with it, we're winning the Super Bowl this year. I think that's more doable than ever.
You have the Panthers and the Bucks seemingly playing for the NFC South tomorrow. But because the Falcons beat the Rams, like if the Falcons beat the Saints on Sunday, then it doesn't even matter what happened the night before, which is tomorrow night, and it'll immediately go to the Panthers.
Okay.
That's what'll happen. So even if the Bucks win tomorrow night, it doesn't mean, okay, we're surefire going to win the division. and go to the playoffs, because if the Saints end up beating the Falcons, then because they all sort of had the same record and tiebreakers, even if the Panthers lose tomorrow night, if the Falcons beat the Saints on Sunday, then the Panthers are still going in. So if the Panthers win tomorrow night, they lock it, good. But if they lose, they still actually have a chance if the Falcons can beat the Saints, and all of a sudden the Saints have turned a corner. Their defense is ridiculous, and Tyler Shuck looks like he might be a solid player.
Well, they won four in a row.
Yeah. Yeah, they've been playing pretty well here over the last month.
You know, I just went back and I looked at my Drake May notes. I was just curious, you know, because I wasn't.
You weren't the biggest Drake May guy.
I was not the biggest Drake May guy. And I.
You had Williams and Daniels, right?
Yeah, I did. I did. And I just. This was a line I typed in my notes. I said, it reminds me of Eli Manning with better athletic ability.
Wow. Two-time Super Bowl champion might go to the Hall of Fame. I mean, that's what that means.
But it's funny. Coming out of college, his only top 25 victory, his final year, was against Miami. And it was a game he threw four interceptions.
Wow.
That was the only time that his final year that he beat somebody, a top 25 opponent.
I mean, he's not scared to throw that thing. It's close to like 9 yards an attempt. And that's like the most compelling thing about him is all that stuff is working. So how does that play out over years where, I mean, he doesn't have any superstar weapons, but all of his weapons are credible. At least they have been up until the Stephon Diggs story. We'll have to see how that tracks.
When he plays, when you watch him, I mean, I don't always have the opportunity to watch. I mean, I know you do red zone stuff or whatever. Mm-hmm. Does his accuracy hit and miss, or is it really, really good?
His accuracy has been pretty good. He will have some because he does push the ball down the field so much, and he's willing to like try and make the big time throws that some can get away from him. I think my biggest gripe with him right now is just the being sacked factor.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you're like, he leans on the athletic ability. He doesn't have a great offensive line, but he's still getting sacked at too high of a rate. So that would be the main area that I'm like, okay, that's what you want to try and clean up.
That's where in college that, like, because I'm going back and looking this, and I'm sorry, I'm doing this dive on him all of a sudden.
No, it's fun.
But I said a couple things about him. We talked about the athletic ability, the movement skills in the pocket. I said, we'll slide around in order to give his receiver a chance to get open. But I said he'll tend to stare his man down, then work to come off him when covered. But he's not afraid to deliver the ball off balance and those kind of things. Some will get away with throws playing this way. I would kind of question about his arm talent. Like, is he whistling the ball and stuff? I mean, again, I haven't sat there and watched a bunch of New England Patriot football, so I don't
know. Right, you're just basing it off the college stuff.
Yeah, I'm just going back on my college notes, and I'm wondering if he's having so much success that I completely misevaluate, and obviously I did because I had him like in the third round.
Did you really?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely, I did.
The quarterback thing is so difficult, man.
No, that's not an excuse. I just kind of saw a guy that was bouncing around in the pocket and kind of trying to stay active to make throws.
Yeah, he was so much better his junior year, or maybe it was his sophomore year, whatever, his second to last season compared to his last season, because he actually had some talent around him at UNC his second to last year, and he was much better. His final year, he was thrown to a bunch of nobodies, and it was, I mean, they were bad, and he had some ugly moments for sure.
He took a lot of blame for them being not good.
He did. He did. And if you really looked at that roster and where they were at, he wasn't working with much
dad,
at all.
By the way, his dad, when I was at LSU, we played his dad, Mark May. His dad was a starting quarterback in North Carolina when we played him.
Oh.
So it's kind of funny, yeah. But it's I don't get to see him play. I don't get to see all these teams play very much. So I haven't seen him, and I was just curious about, is he just, it sounds like he's just kind of totally remade himself when it comes to, from what I saw.
Yeah, for sure. Well, 972 says, I need to put some respect on Bo Nix's name when we talk about the AFC playoff quarterbacks. I get it. For the most part, he's had me eating my words this year. So we'll see. I mean, he's had at least all season long. It comes down to a couple of two or three plays in the fourth quarter, and he makes them. Yeah. So good for him. And then the 2-1-4, we're sleeping on Trevor Lawrence. And that's a fair point as well. We'll see him kind of the postseason version of himself, but he has been freaking dialed.
Do you kind of feel like that Trevor Lawrence has benefited, where my guy Doug Peterson couldn't help him, but Liam Cohen can?
Yeah, Liam Cohen's proven to be a real difference maker.
Yeah.
Real difference maker. And their defense is good, too. Jacksonville's nobody to screw with. Going into Denver a couple weeks ago and getting that dub, that's real deal kind of stuff. Have you seen all the sad, disgusting stats about the Jets this year?
There's a lot of them.
No, looking forward to this, though.
Jets are the first team since 1972 to lose by 23 or more in four consecutive games. Okay, we start there. This is the one that everybody has been
I can't believe that they just completely quit on that guy.
Yeah, he called them out for it, too.
Yeah.
They got lambasted at home by Drake May and the Patriots last week. And he's like, yeah, the effort, all that kind of stuff. Zero interceptions this season their defense has. Yeah. Zero interceptions. The Jets have not intercepted a football all season.
Ouch.
You know how difficult that is to do? It doesn't even make sense.
Well,
no.
The Patriots one year didn't have a wide receiver catch a touchdown.
Was it the Patriots or was it the Chiefs?
Oh, the Chiefs.
The Chiefs. Alex Smith.
No, I was thinking of the guy that used to play for the Patriots that bounces around all the time. Oh, I'll think of it here in a second.
Receiver?
Yeah, receiver. There's a receiver that, and the text will fire it in here. The Patriots had a receiver that...
Oh, Jacoby Myers.
Myers.
And he's been a great trade deadline acquisition for the Jags.
Yeah.
Jacoby Myers has. Yeah, the Jets have zero
interceptions. Kansas City, you're right about that.
It was Alex Smith just throwing to Jamal Charles, and I think Travis Kelce was there at that point. Mm. One of the final Alex Smith seasons before Mahomes took over. they didn't have a receiver catch a touchdown. It's crazy. Zero 400-yard receivers for the Jets this year. Zero Jet quarterbacks have thrown for 10 touchdowns for the fifth time in 6 years. It's crazy. Zero playoff appearances since 2010. And, they've only recorded a total of 4 turnovers this year.
Oh,
so no interceptions. They've gotten 4 fumble recoveries. Wow. That's all they've got. It's been as bad as you could ever imagine.
They had good pressure players. They had Sauce Gardner for half the season. There's just, you can't make much sense of that.
You guys know this one here. Matthew Stafford tied with a former quarterback for the most pick sixes in NFL history.
Matthew Stafford, huh?
Matthew Stafford. He did, because he threw the pick six on Monday night. So who did he tie with? I heard Fan After Dark doing this the other night, and I was screaming in my car because it should be pretty obvious to you.
Favre?
There you go.
Yeah.
Old Brett.
Mama gave me some flop chest. Hungry for the Crimson Tide. Yeah.
The only quarterbacks all time with consecutive 13-win seasons, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, 4 for the Packers, Aaron Rodgers, and now Sam Darnold.
Look at him go.
Look at the company he keeps right now. Okay.
It's good to see they got the net back in place for this this game, that the skydiver.
The Armed Forces Bowl?
Armed Forces gentleman didn't take the net down with him.
I think this game is technically over. I think we're on some sort of a delay over here.
Oh, we're on a big-time delay, I think. Is it over?
Like, I think we did the thing where we hit play and not go live.
Congratulations to the Bobcats then, right, for Texas State.
Texas State.
For winning this thing over Rice.
They were getting it done.
41-10.
How'd you guys feel about the Troy Aikman news? Looks like he's going to be consulting the Miami Dolphins in an effort to get the best general manager possible. And we'll see what happens with Mike McDaniel, their head coach. But that news came down yesterday from Adam Schefter. And you just wonder why the Cowboys have never really used him the way they should or could. But now the Dolphins are. And this is a guy who, it makes a ton of sense because... And we talk about it with these broadcasters all the time on the pregame show there, Broad. It's like they get great access to every team in the league week in, week out. You're doing these production meetings. You're talking with head coaches. You're talking with quarterbacks, best players on teams. You're getting a feel for what works and what separates the awesome teams from the trash teams. And so Aikman has a long history now of being in those rooms with the important people, the decision makers. And so his Rolodex is probably through the roof. He could probably identify a handful of guys. I guess he's going to be sitting in on the GM interviews and stuff like that and just giving his 2 cents. So we'll see to really what extent he is a part of this whole thing. But it seems like he's going to be a part of the decision-making process on how they identify their next general manager. Seems like a no-brainer.
I think it's smart. I think Troy is the kind of guy that you know, is going to give strong, like, shoot-from-the-hip style opinions. And I think that's why the Jones family would not have him in their circle of trust. You know, like, Troy's going to come out and just give you, you know, what he wants to say. And that's not going to be in line with how the Jones want to go about their processes of catering everything to Jerry Jones. Like, Troy's just going to be in there. And then, you know, I don't think Jerry feels like – Troy is a guy that he could trust to not make him look bad on the other side. He's a guy that sided more with Jimmy back in the day. And I don't think
it's a great point.
You know, I would love it if the Cowboys were open to it, because he could probably give them a lot of distilled truths that they need.
Well, I think he has to level up his record, though. I think he was involved with the David LaFleur pick, the tight end they drafted from LSU here in the first round.
That was his guy, wasn't it?
That was his guy. He got on the plane and went flying around the country working guys out. And he determined that David, hopefully he's better at picking front office guys than he is
drafting
LSU tight ends.
Yeah, that's his first thing. I'm not the general manager. Yeah. That's his first consulting with the Dolphins. I should not be that guy.
I should not be the general manager.
But let's crack open a couple of 8 beers and interview some of these boys.
8 beer getting quite a few mentions in the Landman show.
Yeah.
We're talking about the 8 beer.
I saw that.
Taylor Sheridan, is that the gentleman's name?
Yeah, producer guy.
Yeah, he and Troy Aikman are friends.
Okay.
So that's how he's helping him out. Yeah.
Oh, now it comes full circle. Yeah, I heard them talking about that, Joe and Troy, the other day on a game.
Yeah, they're buddies.
Well, that's pretty cool. All right, it's the G-Bag Nation. You're on 105.3 The Fan.
Good beer.
I wish I knew that. I wish I could confirm that.
Yeah, Dawson, you like it.
Came around post-retirement for me. I'm sure I would. I'm sure I'd be drinking the hell out of them, Troy. Okay, what Jerry had to say about Micah clapping at him on social, then Stephen Jones is going to get to you. And, of course, it's a Friday, and it's a holiday Friday, so we'll have what you drinking, what you thinking coming up at 5 o'clock. We're back here with you on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, welcome back. It's the G-Bag Nation here on The Fan. We got about 5 minutes until we have our conversation, our Friday conversation with Stephen Jones. Probably our last one of the year. Won't hear from him for a little bit till we get to Senior Bowl and Combine. And of course, the offseason never really, you know, dominates in any other sport like it does in the NFL. So we'll have plenty of Cowboys content for you all offseason long. But this is probably our final conversation for a little bit.
Yeah, I think it is. I think
Steve,
this is, yeah.
Segment's brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels are the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. Yeah, Brian?
Yeah, and they did the Jake Ferguson show yesterday.
They did?
Yeah. So,
oh, cool.
So, yeah. So
must have been fun for
we were out. Yeah, so
guys.
The guys got an opportunity to visit, so that might be the last one we get with Jake Ferguson. Thank him for being such a great guy hanging out with us. We've been real fortunate to have some really good ones through the years, but he was pretty special doing that.
I thought so. I thought Jake set a new standard for the Cowboys player show, and we hope to have him back next year if he'd like to do it. Okay, Jerry on The Fan this morning was asked about Micah's tweet. Said Micah's tweet was, "Y'all want me to feel bad? Jerry Jones slandered my name to Cowboys media and national media for months, so I don't think I can react." So he said, "So I do think I can react to comment if I want to, hashtag respectfully." Jerry was asked about it this morning, said, "I wish Micah the very best. I'd love to have Micah on the team, but we just couldn't afford him. We wanted 4 to 5 players more than we did him, but he's outstanding. I understand his sensitivity and can even understand these comments." I feel like Jerry Jones is trying to high road him right now to sort of sweep this under the rug, because it's just not good for NFL business to have players and owners going back and forth at each other in the media. I don't know if Micah and Trayvon are going to let this go anytime soon. Maybe we got to deal with this for another year or so. And that's just kind of, you know, what comes along with it, I think. But so
I think you get to play the Packers again next year.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah. So
do you think Trayvon's going to play better for the Packers than he did the Cowboys?
No.
Neither do I.
I think he's going to try really hard, but I don't know. I mean, I don't know how completely healthy he says he is. But, you know, he's gonna get an opportunity. I talked to some people in Green Bay. They were calling me and asking me about him yesterday and just kind of going through some things about him. And they were like, I'm like, well, what's the situation? They're like, well, we're down corners and, you know, we're not going to play anybody in this game. We're down to our third quarterback. So they're going to go to Minnesota, probably lose this game, and Diggs is probably going to get an opportunity to have to cover, he's had a pretty good career covering Jefferson, right? You know, that's kind of been his thing. So I don't know. My gut feeling is that he probably – listen, Green Bay, they could play him in this game and then play him in the playoffs. If it doesn't work out, they could just get rid of him too.
Yeah.
You know, they got no guaranteed money there or anything like that. So
saves the Cowboys, I guess, $500,000 and a little bit of cap space.
Yeah, $470,000 for this week, and then I think $11.5 in next year is what it is.
Well, it's just amazing how far this team fell from where they were when Micah and Trayvon were at the height of their powers, and then just the injuries took away their ability to sort of follow up on what that, you know, defensive identity could have been. Mm-hmm. And it's unfortunate because I still feel like that's a little bit of an underreported story. How many bad injury developments the Cowboys have suffered here in the last 5 or 6 years. Jerry was asked about changing the philosophy and pushing in for more resources around Dak. He said we need to give him some field position with the defense. We didn't get that done this year. We didn't create the kind of complementary field position we needed. But let me say this, we've got what I call the bones in place. I like some of the defensive players we added during the year, and we're going to add more. Both of you guys are strongly biased towards defensive players here as this offseason gets underway.
Yes. Not to say that you wouldn't like to upgrade a thing or two on the offense, but you just don't have that luxury. You have other than your defensive tackles, everything is up for grabs, every single position.
Kind of feel like you really need to have an aggressive free agency if you can. Give me some flexibility. That's all I ask. I mean, you know, the ability to move.
You have to, man.
Move some picks around, you know, keep yourself. You know, if you just get to a point where all of a sudden you're just like, well, we're kind of, this is who we are, then we have to make these picks. You know, and you can't try and recoup your, you know, maybe day two picks, but because you're moving around, but you want to move around, but you can't because you need the players. I mean, that'd be a tough situation for me.
So do you think it's possible they can bring back George Pickens and still address the defense in a profound way,
sure,
enough to get him back in the playoffs
sure.
next year?
Sure.
They can.
Yeah.
They can. As long as they're willing to swipe the card a little bit, there's should be plenty of options in free agency to get better at every level of your defense.
Yeah, there should be. You have
just your willingness.
I think it's got to be a long term deal with George Pickens that backloads that money for me to believe it's really true. Like the Cowboys are going to have the available cap space to really bring back George Pickens and address the defense in a significant way. And we'll have to see. I guess, a couple of months to go until we really get into that free agency where you start to get a clearer view of what's about to happen. So many things happened over the holiday while I was out. I would love to get your guys' thoughts on Tyler Smith going to left tackle and how much that could impact the draft. Do you think tackle's still on the board?
No. Well, I think it is potentially at right tackle. But I don't feel like that they're going to move Tyler Smith permanently to left tackle.
Thank God.
I feel like this is just going to they needed him to play because of Nate Thomas. They weren't maybe locked in with Adeniji playing over there, you know. So I think this was more about a necessity than it was out of we're just going to permanently do this.
I mean, I guess he's been really dang good at guard. I think
he's a Pro Bowl guard.
All-Pro guard.
All-Pro level guard. Yeah.
I mean, I would just be really curious to see what it would look like with Tyler Smith at left tackle and Tyler Guyton at right tackle for an extended stretch. You have, what's his name, the guard who has had to play.
T.J. Bass?
Yeah, you have Bass. I mean, you have enough bodies. And you could put together this offensive line and say, hey, let's see if this works out. And it saves you from having to go in free agency or the draft and looking for a right tackle. That's going to be expensive. Like, do you have another way of putting the line together without drafting a right tackle in the first round?
Well, I personally feel like that Nate Thomas was basically playing his rookie year. You know, and we saw some moments where Nate Thomas was pretty damn solid for you, you know. And there was a couple of games where, you know, he gave up some pressures and stuff like that. I'd like to believe that if you allowed him to, like, hey, you're going to come in, you're going to compete at the right tackle spot, that they, you know, he's already strong enough, but they could work on the mobility, you know, the flexibility, all those things. I'd give him a shot. I mean, he flashed some stuff just basically in his rookie year playing tackle for you.
I think the best left tackle in free agency is Rashid Walker, from the Packers, 25 years old. He was a seventh-round pick in 2022, but he's played like almost 1,000 snaps at left tackle for the last 3 years. He's better in pass pro than he is in run blocking, but if you wanted Guyton to play right tackle, you could sign him and be your left tackle. Obviously, that's going to be a fair amount of money, 20-plus million or whatever per year, but in terms of free agency, if you want to address it there, that would probably be the best option. If the Packers don't retain him,
He hasn't been that good.
He's pretty good. He's a better pass blocker than he is a run blocker. He's not like Mr. Dominant. Oh my gosh, here we go. But if you just want to get a solid starting left tackle, he would be probably the best on the market.
Okay, 940 says Smith is not as good at tackle, and yeah, I mean, but he's only played left tackle his rookie year. He's grown up a lot. He's figured things out.
Like, but he also has no interest in doing it.
In college,
his quotes. Have you seen his quotes on it?
Yeah, he does not.
He says, I'm an all pro guard, bro. That's the simple truth if we're just looking at stuff purely off facts. We'll see what happens. We'll have those conversations when we have those conversations and kind of see where everybody's head is at. He's like, my mindset is going to be the same this offseason. I was for sure I'd be playing guard, so I trained like a guard. Right now I'm playing tackle, so it is what it is. So he doesn't really... He definitely doesn't want to do it.
And I wouldn't either if I was getting paid like a guard, you know? I'd feel like, dude, if you want to do a contract with me and then move my position within 12 months, that's something I want to go back and renegotiate. So if you do want to play me at tackle, I want to get back into this bargaining table a little bit earlier than you expect.
But also, you've honed in on a skill which is totally different. Like, you had Duke Mannyweather, the offensive line expert. You had Andrew Whitworth both commenting when they made the switch of like just how difficult it is from like true guys that understand the differences between guard and tackle. Night and day difference. Yeah. So you could be an all-pro guard and you get out of your sleep and do that if you're Tyler Smith. Now all of a sudden you're going to make me a left tackle. Now it's like, bro, I got to start kind of from ground zero again. And that's a pain in the neck.
Yeah. All righty, let's step aside and see if we can track down our guy, Steve. We'll come back at Steven Jones coming up at the top of the hour, 5 o'clock. What you drinking, what you thinking here on a Football Friday, and we're back with you on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, welcome back. It's the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. I have been informed YouTube is down, Twitch is down. You got the Odyssey app still going strong, though. We have confirmed that. So it's a good time to just advise you, if you are YouTube dependent, make sure you got that Odyssey app on standby. Yeah. I understand YouTube's better, you know. Hit the like button. You can chat. You can hang out with your friends and stuff like that. But the Odyssey app will be your best friend in a time like this when the YouTube's not working. Dallas Fan Cam, if you want to jump on there and subscribe. And, you know, we'll get this thing rocking and rolling again before too long. All righty. Let me get you QB rankings, week 18, NFL.com's QB Index with Nick Shook. And he did put Drake May number one. Are you okay with considering Drake May the best quarterback in the game right now? Like, what has happened to our top four quarterbacks?
No, I'm not okay with making the broad stroke statement that he is the best guy. Like, is he the MVP for this season? Yes. But would he be the number one overall pick in a quarterback draft? I can't imagine. Certainly not if you're playing under the hypothetical of like one season or one game or whatever. No, like you're going to have to do it for longer than what he's done it. And all credit to him for the season he's had. But in no world is he the best quarterback in the league. But this year it has been thrown off, though.
Yes.
You know, it's not like you've gotten the consistent, Mahomes and Lamar and Josh Allen and all that kind of stuff where they're just like playing the best football of their careers. But you would still take the body of work of those guys still in their primes over the 1 year that Drake May has put together right now.
I it's hard to say what's happening with Lamar Jackson right now because he's 29 years old. And he's
going to play this week.
He is going to play, and so is T.J. Watt AFC North championship game, but he has stopped running fast on his scrambles. I don't know if you saw that, but he's like averaging like 11 miles an hour as compared to 17 miles an hour on his scrambles is the stat that I saw a couple of weeks ago. So I'm wondering, is that injury related? Is that one of his legs or his back slowing him down? Or has he decided, I don't want to run so fast that I'm risking more soft tissue injuries? I'm not sure exactly what's going on with Lamar, but I'm pretty sure still it's Mahomes, it's Allen, it's Burrow probably just on playing ability, but availability. If a team didn't want to draft Joe Burrow in an all quarterback draft right now, I'd say, you know what, that actually makes sense. Mm-hmm. I'll move along to a less hurt guy. And has Josh Allen ever missed a start? I don't think he has. So it's clearly Allen and Mahomes to me. And then, you know, after whatever you do with Burrow and Jackson, depending on if you think Jackson still has 5 years in his prime or if he's slowing down, I can't really pick much of a fight with you on those. But then after that, I think Dak belongs. And maybe Dak belongs in the big conversation. Maybe he should be at three.
Where do you have Caleb Williams?
Ooh, Caleb Williams, he would not be in my top 10.
Is that just because you don't like him from where it started? You're not warming up to him, but I'm just talking about as a player right now.
No, I think even as a player right now, like he, I mean, you see the talent.
Yeah.
You see the talent that he has and the type of throws and stuff that he can make, but he's still not in the top 10 conversation. Still too inconsistent.
Caleb Williams is at the top of tier two in Nick Shook's rankings, which puts him eighth in 16 games, just 58% completion.
Yeah.
25 touchdowns, 6 picks.
58% completion. Think about that.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I'm just thinking about winning games. I think they've won like 6 or 7 games in the last drive of the game.
Yeah. I think he's approaching the top 10. He's playing a lot better than he was last year or even to start this year. I think it's an ascending player. I don't think I'm as high on him as some people that think he might be heading for the top 5 or anything like that. He's probably peaking right now, but it is pretty dang impressive. You got Josh Allen at 3, Dak Prescott at 4, Herbert at 5, Purdy at 6, Lawrence at 7, then Williams, then Sam Darnold 9, and Joe Burrow at 10th there, followed by Jared Goff and Bo Nix there. Have you been able to watch much Caleb Williams, Brian?
No, that's what I'm saying. I was just, you guys that always watch the red zone, I always seem to like be watching like this game, the Cowboys game. So, yeah. No, I see like the highlights of him, and it seems like that when they need a big throw, that he's kind of coming up with it. I know it's a 58% passer, and I want to say, like, I believe the number was they've won 6 or 7 games in the last drive of the game in 2 minutes.
Man, the ball that he threw a couple of weeks ago was insane. Yeah. In the wind?
Yeah. Yeah, he's, I think, super talented. He's going to
– that's surprised.
It's hard to imagine he's not a surefire top 8 to 10 quarterback here in the very near future, especially in that offense with Ben Johnson.
I was surprised you said he's a 58% passer. That number, I was like, really? That didn't seem right. But, you know, I mean, they're 11-5, and here we are, you know.
The most compelling thing is just that – you can see, I think you got to watch the tape. I don't think you can look at the stats, although the stats are better than last year.
Yeah.
There's a composure. There's an exciting potential in his body language. He's not reacting to things like he's scared and confused anymore. He's like, oh, I know what to do now. I'm going to use my speed to get out here and then throw it 60 yards. And there's a lot more of that than what you saw earlier in his career. Who was it that joined us a couple of weeks ago? It was Ben Lieber, I think, the Vikings sideline guy, who said it was his belief quarterbacks need 50 games. And I don't think NFL teams are giving you even 15 games now before ultimately deciding. Unless they did use the number one overall pick on you, then maybe they might be a little bit more patient. But I wouldn't be surprised if Caleb Williams turns into legitimately one of the best 10 quarterbacks in the game.
For sure. For sure. And it's been cool to see him improve all season. You know, like from where he was in like the middle of the year to where he is now. You can totally see the difference in him. So I think he is progressing to where next year at this time, I don't even think we're having the conversation, is he a top 10 quarterback? I think it'll be
It just shows you that coach, though, that coach helping him the way he does.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah, Ben Johnson has definitely acquitted any of the doubters going into this. Like some of the weirdness that was going on in the preseason and the offseason, you're like, wow, maybe this guy isn't cut out for the job. But clearly he is, or his coaching acumen makes up for any lack of pure alpha leadership traits. So, okay, so maybe Jerry's looking to turn the page on the Micah Parsons drama, but he's not when it comes to Trayvon Diggs. Diggs on what Micah Parsons told him about coming to the Packers, quote, he told me it's work, it's a lot different, and he said I'm going to like it a lot. So there's plenty of meat on that conversational bone. Like, you know, just another player leaving, and maybe they're bitter, but the way that they are shading the Cowboys by applauding their new team is kind of interesting. But Jerry was asked about Trayvon today when he joined KNC Masterpiece and said, I thought Trayvon had one of the most impressive beginnings in pro football and with the Cowboys that I've ever been associated with. I personally think that there are things that Trayvon did back when he first came in the NFL that he physically has been compromised with to do. And one of those things he could do is just something similar to what Deion could do. Deion could make a mistake, or he could bait a player, and then he had the burst to make up for it, go back and make the play and get the ball. Certainly Diggs had that early. He would be out of position, but not really, because he'd go intercept the ball. He deserved to be paid when we signed him to a contract extension. That production, injury-wise or otherwise, has fallen off. There's a lot of reasons for it, but I wish him well. So we did give him that compliment sandwich, or that positivity sandwich.
He did.
I think that was smart, but the truth in the middle there about Trayvon Diggs definitely puts his career, I think, moving forward very much in question, maybe in jeopardy. And, you know, kind of feels to me like Jerry is fighting back on this one a little bit, calling out Trayvon Diggs. Because if you haven't scouted Trayvon yet and you read that Jerry Jones said that, it's got to impact his free agency in one way or another.
Yeah, that's, you know, the Packers are in a situation right now where they're not very good at corner and they need some help. And, you know, this is an opportunity for them to kind of go get a guy. I wouldn't be surprised if he did play well. But in reality, what I'm thinking is he's not completely healthy, and you see people run by him. And if you're a team and you're watching him on tape and you're watching how he plays, Jerry's right. He used to gamble, and he used to be good at it. He used to be able to break on the ball. He doesn't have that. He doesn't have the burst. You know, he plays tentative, you know. And what does Green Bay do? They play a ton of zone coverage. It's going to be a terrible fit for him. You know?
Yeah, that microfracture surgery is crazy. Like, yeah. I would not be surprised if in a year or so he starts to regain more of the quick twitch and the ability to react. But right now he doesn't have it. And he was never a complete corner in his prime. It was, I'm dropping back. I'm keeping the receiver in the general area. I might try to press him a little bit at the line of scrimmage, but I'm looking to read the quarterback and take that football away. And now that ability is gone, there's not much remaining there. With Trayvon Diggs. So I think he's probably headed for a prove-it deal, kind of like what Asante Samuel
got. Well, he's
got,
you know, David Mulligetta. I mean, the Packers are probably going to ask him to redo his deal, you know, or do something different. His deal isn't that far-fetched or terrible, you know, with all the guaranteed money and stuff gone already. So, I mean, the Packers can surely play with the deal. But, you know, how bad does he want to be in Green Bay? That's going to be the question.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to be there at all. You know, that level of coldness. Now, maybe he likes hanging out with Micah Parsons so much. I mean, that video that's going viral again of them embracing a post game with the Cowboys is just laughable. But, you know, they're bros, and they're and when you're in your 20s, I think your bros are as important as they'll ever be in your life. Okay, what do you guys think of the rule? The no flying back rule. I wonder, is this Shoddy in his sweet spot? Like, if he coaches for another 10 years, where he'll ultimately be, does he need to come back a little bit from this, or is this perfection? Like, you're building a team, you're building a group of guys that want to be around each other and want to follow all the rules, or is this one of that you got to be like, you know what, these are professional athletes, it's the holidays, it's a 3-hour flight back to DFW. He wants to go hang out with his family. Is this the rule that I want to stand strong on, whether it's Diggs or Dak or anybody else?
Yeah, it's tough because when you think about it, you're like, yeah, how hard is it to just allow these guys to do something?
Did we determine that he asked before the game was played? Did we determine?
That's what was reported.
Did he ask on a, you know, game being played on a Thursday? Did he go in there on a Saturday and say, hey, coach, listen, I have an opportunity. Is it okay? Because if he did it the day of the game, that's not the way to go about it.
No, because, clearly not.
Because
no.
There's logistics that they rules have to rules. Go through. Yeah, there's yeah. logistic things that they have to go through.
I'm just saying, like, when you now, look now, at it, like, sure, coach, the guy broke the rule, but should it be a rule?
Well, would coach, be more my question. Coach, when they had the training camp every year, Dak and those guys fly on their own, right? They mm-hmm. don't go with the team. I mean, I don't think it's one of those things where coach is inflexible. I just feel like, though, that if depending on when you did it, you know, and like, hey, we're gonna travel as a team. We're gonna come back as a team. I mean, I've seen, I saw McCarthy and people like that when I was on, was on trips and stuff like that with Garrett and those coaches and stuff. You know, they made those players fly back with everybody, and then they get in a car and go back to the airport. I remember we flew into LAX. Mm-hmm. He put everybody on the bus, drove them up to Oxnard. Cars were waiting to take those guys back to L.A.
Yeah.
So I don't think this is any, I don't think it's any different than, what coaches in the past have done.
I mean, I guess one good thing about the rule is it exposes people who don't want to be around you or don't want to follow rules, and you can find out, hey, these are the guys that aren't really with our program.
Well, yeah, it's the whole thing is about, to be honest with you, it's about how your team is structured. You know, it's about the things that he, when you look at the situation, like, what are the rules? How do we want to operate? It's the structure. I mean, and can you, like you said, can you live within the structure that we have? And if you can't, then there's going to be problems there. But if you can, you follow the rules, you do what you're supposed to do. I'm not going to sit there and act like the Cowboys are, with coach and stuff. I'm sure, coach seems like a really good guy when it comes to, he's a family guy. He seems to have that kind of approach. I don't think he's trying to.
It's just so early. It's his first year.
Yeah.
That I wonder, between this and Jaden Blue not being able to get on the field, like, is this shoddy drawing a line in the sand trying to prove himself when.
Yeah. Like, yeah, don't be an F up. Do what you're supposed to do. If you have to prep. If we ask you to be in meetings, be there on time. And, they had the whole thing with George Pickens and being late and all that. I think it really is legitimate that different players have different – maybe it's not even a question if Diggs was playing worth a damn.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Maybe if it's a situation where Diggs is – Diggs is playing every week and he put them through a lot of hell. And he probably thinks they put him through a lot of hell.
Yeah, and I was thinking that the same thing in real time, but then when it's across the board apparently, where none of the players were going to be granted that.
No.
And you can argue whether or not that's something that you want to draw a hard line in the sand on, but I do appreciate the fact that Shoddy, it's across the board for everybody.
Yeah.
Like, hey, this is what it is. You may not like it, and I get that, and if I'm a player, I might be storming out, being all pissy about it, and I get that, but hey, this is his rule, this is what he's doing, he's standing by it, he's standing strong, and it's year one where he's trying to build something. I don't have the biggest issue in the world with it, but I understand if you're a player, you're kind of going, what the heck, man?
Yeah.
You know, but at least hey, it's not like other guys are getting it and I'm not.
Well, two, like I said, I just wondered if the player asked, had a week in advance to ask. Because sometimes these coaches will give you that. They're like, hey, cool. Because arrangements have to be made. There's manifests for the travel. You have to account for everybody, all the seats and stuff like that. And, it's stuff that can be done. It can be moved around. But you just got to give everybody on the operations side plenty of time to work it through.
469, did any other players ask? Yeah, they did, and they were denied as well.
They were denied, yeah.
So I'm very pro Shoddy. Don't get me wrong. I just wonder if he's going to look back on this and maybe adjust his opinion. Like, my focus right now would be on making such a good and fun team that nobody wants to do anything else but be on the plane with us. We might have Stephen Jones coming up. Okay, we're gonna hang right here with you on your home of the Cowboys, 105.3 The Fan. 979 says Diggs sadly does not get that leeway. Same with Blue. If Jaden Blue was really like that, he would have gotten on the field. Yeah, I think so.
There was a lot of questions, a lot of questions coming out about at college. And, you know, we knew the thing about the evaluation of the type of player. It's the off the field stuff that they know far more than we do.
Indeed.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.